which is the third letter of the alphabet? C is
the third letter of the alphabet.
Okay, at the moment means the same thing as now. At the moment.
Okay, so the first word today is ready. Ready? Ready.
Hello and welcome to ELT Under the Covers Teaching Methodology. Today we're looking into an ancient teaching methodology that goes by the name the Direct Method. But first, introductions.
I'm Neil of Team Teacher.
Hello everybody, it's Professor Rich.
It's one of the oldest methods in the modern education system.
Yes.
Because the modern education system came about in the sort of late 19th, early 20th century, right? The modern education system was designed to prepare the uneducated peasants who can't read and write, that's us at that time, for the factory work of the Industrial Revolution. And then, yeah, that would make absolute sense. Someone come out with this thing, Direct Method, and said, this is how we're
going to learn languages.
Yeah, this is how we're going to learn languages.
This is
yeah.
the new way of learning languages. Forget that grammar translation. Put down your pens and paper. And what you're just going to repeat after me.
Yeah, so it's like radical, like radically progressive educational system at the time, right? Because as you said, people were just there sitting down with their book, like, translating it basically to another language. That was how you learned a language, and now they're saying you're going to speak. What?
Yeah, I like this idea that if you view it through the lens of history, that it's like uber progressive, and that someone rocked into the classroom, probably flipped over a couple of Latin and ancient Greek books and said, get rid of that cough. And then just started shouting at people, just repeat, it's a pen. It would have been awesome, and people would have just been like, oh my god, I'm learning so much. But nowadays
probably would have been like, hello police.
Nowadays people have a different perspective on it, and it kind of gets looked down upon. But I think one of the things that we should do before we kind of get a little bit more into the direct method is we do a little bit of an intro and kind of get that overview, and then we can kind of extrapolate from there. The direct method, also known as the natural method, is a language teaching methodology that teaches a new foreign language solely in the target language without using the student's, the learner's native language at all. It was established in the 1900s as the antithesis of the grammar translation method and other traditional approaches of its ilk, which were often solely taught in the native language of the students. It has since been adopted in many forms by international language schools such as Berlitz in Lingua and Callan, and many language departments of government institutions and other institutions around the world. It's an immersive language experience with the focus being on oral skills and teaching concepts and vocabulary and grammar through demonstration, realia, and other visual materials, with the learning coming inductively, i.e. the learners have to basically figure out the rules themselves. The focus on the classes is often on what's called directed practice, with lots of question and answer patterns. The new language is fed to the students by copying and parroting the teacher, and these patterns are repeated often over and over again over many classes until the students are more confident and can produce these patterns more freely, and then they move on to the next stages and the new patterns and such. What do you know of direct method? What are your experience with it? Give us your thoughts.
I think the majority of my experience with direct method is through you.
Yes. So something that people should know is when Rich and I first kind of moved to Spain and we first started teaching, I actually was teaching with a Callan at the Callan School, and which is a direct method. They have their own proprietary direct method, but it is still a direct method, natural method. So.
And I mean, let's see, when was that? It was about 2008, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. And the thing is, like, I remember starting out then, and we hadn't done a lot of formal training to become teachers, like most people, and like most people that we interview on this channel. We kind of leapt into it with a backpack and, oh, we're in Spain, oh, we're going to be teachers. And I remember, like, my experience of doing the sort of communicative language teaching, but without knowing what the hell I was doing, being very stressful and really hard going and all the rest of it. But I remember that your experience seemed to be a lot smoother because you had this direct method, right? Mm-hmm. And on top of that, I think we remember we spent some time with some of your students, didn't we? Mm-hmm. And they were very positive about it, and they spoke English. You know, they spoke English. So, I mean, I'm not going to have as much of a kind of insight as you into it, but I think that it gets a very bad press, mm-hmm. for sure. People think, oh, what, speak and repeat? Like, what is, you know, what's going on there? That's surely a bit 20th century or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. But the fact that it actually gives results, and also this fact that you can take someone who's never taught a language class before and very quickly sort of train them up, mm-hmm. to be able to start doing stuff. Sure, you get better at it over time and everything, but I'm sure that your first classes were way better than my first classes, because mm-hmm. my first classes were just an absolute, like, you know, the phrase garbage and fire come to mind. So, I mean, that in itself is sort of an advantage if you're thinking about mass market language teaching. I mean, this must have been huge at the time when it came out. It must have just dominated the market of language teaching.
Well, I could actually see it being used poorly and being used well. So one of the advantages that worked with me was, you know, Callan have their own books, so you very much teach to the book. Everything's there. You're just kind of like the vessel to kind of bring it to life. You're kind of performing it more than teaching it in a way. But I imagine if you were doing direct method and you were coming up with kind of the lessons and you were building from scratch, then with being a new teacher, then it would have gone terribly. It would just been like, I would have not known what I was doing. But, you know, these companies like in Lingua Berlitz and Callan, they have their own books, so they already have like a curriculum, a syllabus, and you kind of just have to follow that along. And then someone in the past has done all the brain work of going, it makes more sense if we do the verb to be and have, then we start kind of going into the future and stuff straight away, or blah, 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 blah. You know, there's logic to it. There's progression and it builds. So that's one thing that I think really needs to be pointed out with the direct method, is it can go terribly wrong if you aren't using it appropriately. Now, with the books, and with the direct method, with all these institutions and companies, I it worked really well. I echo what you say about my students. Was we often had students in that had zero English, no English whatsoever, and you could get them to a beginner level relatively fast. I believe Callan said that you could get to intermediate in 6 months. I thought that was a bit of a stretch, but definitely you could be a very solid beginner, maybe pre-intermediate, higher level. I don't think it would be, I don't think you kind of get that much from it, but just kind of like, it's just getting the hours in, getting the, the Gladwell calls that 10,000 hours of deliberate practice, right? So that you kind of start off and you know zero English, and then you're kind of being spoon fed and you're like, oh, I'm not getting this, I'm thinking about this too much, and then it's, but then there's no time to think, it's just bah, 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 and you're just repeating, and then you kind of, I saw students at points just like, ah, oh, I can't, it's too much, you know, like it's just so much input, and there's, we're trying to get it out in time before the teacher makes them repeat, and then at some point they just kind of go and then it starts to come out more naturally. So I think it's one of a really good method for kind of overcoming like emotions. It's almost like you're in the army and you're being thrown into, you know, they're flowing these flash grenades and, you know, they're shooting, they're doing, you know, like not live ammunition drills, and, you know, there's lots of sound and you're kind of overwhelmed and you just kind of become accustomed to it. So it breaks a lot of that down. I think that was one of the things that I initially thought with the direct method, was it was just very good at just kind of getting people going. And then just getting them very familiar and at ease with the language, it being used, them using it, and you know, seeing it's kind of not so scary.
Yeah. Do you have any idea of what sort of commitment Mr. Callan expected for someone to get from zero to intermediate within 6 months?
Like, I think it was three lessons a week, if I remember right.
And how long are the lessons?
I can't remember. I think.
Are you sure? Are you like sure that your length of lessons would be the same as the ones that he was doing?
Yes, they're all the same. Yeah, so all exactly the Calis franchise are all the same.
It'd just be an hour. So it'd be 3 hours. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that seems a bit far fetched to me. I think it definitely is possible to go from nothing to intermediate in 6 months, but it would require
extensive amounts, right?
Incredibly, yeah, very intensive, not only intensive practice but intensive study as well. Mm-hmm. I think you'd need intensive everything to be able to get to intermediate. Mm-hmm. But certainly I think it is possible. Well, it's definitely possible, there's no doubt about that. It's just it would require quite a lot.
And I think it's worth noting as well with the direct method, it's considered more a active oral method. So when we think of direct method, we think of it more as, you know, speaking, listening, not so much reading, writing. That was kind of more of the grammar translation, was reading, writing. The direct method, in response to the grammar translation method, focused more on the oral side of things, and you know, that also, or the audio lingual method, which we will have a video out as well for that, focused on oral as well. That's not to say that the direct method didn't have any reading and writing. We in Callan, we did reading, like it was kind of like a popcorn reading, and we also did dictation, but that's the extent of it. It was the majority of the class was kind of throwing questions and getting the students to answer those questions. If they were doing well in the class, they're familiar with the questions, then they would answer before I had to prompt them and make them repeat with me.
Yeah. To be fair, I very rarely, you know, now that I kind of operate independently and sort of do needs analysis and custom-based courses for students, it's very rare that someone actually wants any reading or writing. If someone wants reading, it's normally to pass an exam. And with writing, even people who think they want writing, once you show them a few tools like Grammarly and so on, you know, they don't really see the point anymore. There's some utility to using writing as a means to producing speaking activity or like teasing out errors that you couldn't otherwise see, and then you can see them when someone does a writing piece. But in terms of actually learning, you know, writing skills, as we say, you know, the idea of planning and the structure of an essay and all that sort of stuff, yeah, it's actually pretty rare unless someone wants to get a certain score in IELTS. So I think it makes sense to focus on listening and speaking for pretty much all modern methods, and this is not even a modern method, really.
Yeah, no, and it really does focus on that, and a lot of students gravitate towards the direct method because they know it's going to be oral focused, and like I said, it's really good for beginners because they don't have to really think, you know, and they start using the language straight away. But it's something that you have to stick with, and you might not see benefits until a couple of classes in when it starts to click. But there we go. So what I think would be best now would be to actually see it in action, because I think a lot of people have a lot of different ideas of what it is. So we've got some clips so people can see what the direct method really looks like in practice and what it looks like when it's done well. And we can kind of take it from there. So let's have a look at the adults class.
All right, fantastic.
Writing with my pen and speaking with my mouth. What does the word with mean? With? So, all right, very good. So, what am I doing? You are writing.
Writing. You're writing.
With your pen.
Pen.
Once more, please. You're writing.
With your pen.
Very good. Am I writing with your pen? No.
You aren't writing with.
With my pen. But you're writing with your pen. Very good. Once more, please. No, you aren't writing with your pen. Very good. Do we read with our eyes? Do we read with our eyes? Yes.
Yes.
We do. We read.
With our eyes.
All right. Very good. Do we speak with our mouths? Yes.
Yes.
We speak with our mouths. All right, very good. Perfect. Can. A toe. Very good. I can speak English. I can swim. I can ride a bicycle. Okay? So what does the word can mean? Can? Can. Very good. Like.
Like.
The cinema.
The cinema.
Television. Very good. I like that picture, for example. I would like to have it in my living room and just look at it, okay? So what does it mean, like? Or you can like ice cream, chocolate, like?
Madra,
very well done, okay. And some people go to the cinema in the evening to see a good film, eat popcorn, sit there and watch a good film. So what does it mean, the cinema?
Kino.
Very good. And sometimes when you are lazy, you just want to stay at home, sit on your couch, right, and just switch the channels on your television. What does the word television mean?
Televisa,
very good, fine. Now question with the word like. You ask, do you like the cinema? And then you can answer, yes, I like the cinema, or no, I do not like the cinema. Okay, do you like the cinema? Positive answer, yes, I like the cinema, or negative, no, I do not like the cinema. Do you like the cinema, yes or no?
Yes, I like the cinema.
The cinema, very good. Do you like television, yes or no?
Yes, I like the television.
Television.
Yes, I like television.
Television, that's it, very good. Do you like your town, yes or no?
Yes, I like my town.
My town, very nice. Do you like small classrooms, yes or no?
No, I don't like small classrooms.
But I do not.
I do not. like small classrooms. All right, negative. Very well done. Okay, do you like clean villages? Do you like clean villages? Yes or no?
Yes, I like clean villages.
Very good. Do you like dirty towns? Do you like dirty towns? Yes or no?
No.
I don't like dirty towns. All right. So what is the...
It's hard to find examples of direct method that aren't stuck within a proprietary realm. So, you know, like I did Callan, so the direct method with Callan is based on their books. That one, I believe they've got their own thing going on. I think they've developed their own thing.
It looks very similar, though.
It's similar, but, you know, there's more explanation, and she's given lots of examples, and that's generally not what happens with Callan. And
right,
more
okay.
of my idea of direct method, because it's literally, you know, you're kind of like reading from a script and you're asking them questions, and there are scripted responses, and you ask the question, and then if the student cannot give you a response pretty much immediately, then you start giving them the answer, and you do that in chunks. So one of the things that you saw in that clip that she did was she would break the sentences up into kind of chunks. You know, I like my blah blah blah. So, you know, like they would kind of go into little, not a full phrase, but little chunks. And also she did repeating vocabulary, which is not common. Normally you would repeat vocabulary, but you would use it in conjunction with a phrase. So if you're introducing, you know, classroom objects, you would say that is a blah blah blah. That was good that I thought for Callan, but when she does it, I don't particularly agree with that. I think the best method is to use it in conjunction with it with a sentence in a broader, longer sentence.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Fair enough. So my kind of general thoughts,
mm-hmm.
I think it's something that I think it's seems like it would be very good for vocabulary, for learning spoken vocabulary, individual items and individual words, which leads to a common criticism that I make on this channel about inauthentic pronunciation of speech.
Mm-hmm.
So in that case, we have both the receptive speech being inauthentic, as in, do you like the, like nobody speaks like that. Mm-hmm. And also the model that's being produced back by the students is also inauthentic. Yes, I like to go, right? That also is not, people will understand you, but it's inauthentic speech, and it mm-hmm. could, it won't lead to a misunderstanding, but it will hamper fluency, and it could lead to you having problems in the future with comprehension because you expect people to sound like that. Mm-hmm. So that's a big problem. And the inauthenticity in general is also an issue, but compared to grammar translation method, that's a non-issue, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. I think we don't particularly, if we're judging this on as a 20th century method, we don't need to worry about that. As a modern method, obviously it's an issue. And I think that's probably what you were touching on when it came to the idea of advanced students, that you kind of, you inauthenticity is important at all stages, I think, but at advanced level, it then becomes critical, doesn't it? You can no longer sort of synthesize your way. It's like, you can think about anything really. You think about becoming a boxer, and it's like you're training for loads in the gym. Well, you're never going to get to advanced level of boxing without actually getting in the ring and having a boxing match with
yeah.
someone, are you?
That's one of the biggest points with the direct method is, it's, you know, everyone's like, I want to learn English, and they'll have a chat with someone one day, and then they'll pick up a book another day, and they might use an app another day. But if you're just consistently going to these classes 3 times a week, you know, I could see that it just gets you going. It just gets you going, and it gets in the practice, and it's not ideal, but it gets you there. And I do want to reiterate with that example, it is not the best example. that what you say with the inauthentic language, you have that. But also, if you have an experienced teacher, what you'll have is you'll say, I don't like the television or something like that. And, you know, it will be chunked up. But then they will also do an additional repeat where it's the full sentence in a more authentic manner. So less chunked, and then I don't like the television.
Okay.
But yeah, she didn't do, I think she maybe did that once or twice, but that was...
Yeah, she did it like once or twice, yeah.
That was the problem with that example with her. She's very inconsistent, and the focus with the direct method, especially when you're working within a larger company, is they want you to be kind of like a robot. They want you to be consistently keep doing that.
They want all the teachers to present the same product to the students
in the same way. However, it sounds bad, but there's a lot of advantages to that, and you kind of have to think, well, someone's been thought about this method for a long time. They're continually developing the curriculum and the books and stuff like that. So, you know, who are you to kind of speak against it and say, oh, I can do this a bit better? But what I found as well was, you know, I was very consistent, and students appreciated that. But also, I was intelligent with the way that I changed things. So, you know, if I felt like a student was just parroting and had just basically been at the same page for, you know, now three classes or whatever, and, you know, they more or less memorized it, I would add in a different word, but I would take out words very selectively. So, you know, I would add a word and say, is that a pen, would become, is that a red pen or is that a blue pen? Just to kind of throw them off a little bit and keep them kind of thinking and engaging. That would be ways to modify it, not just to kind of be, oh, I'm going to use chunks this time and don't use a repeat of the full phrase next time.
Did your institution encourage that?
There was pushback.
Really?
Yeah, no, we did have disagreements. But generally
I remember they used to listen in to you, didn't they?
Yeah, they would, because the product is consistency. They want you to stick to the book and do the same procedure every single time, because that's what gets results. But you know, my argument with them was always, she or he or they have been at the same level for blah blah how many long length of classes, they've memorized it now, so they need to be pushed outside of their you know, comfort zone again. So I'm going to just add a word here or there and change it up. You know, I would do it, and it's often easier to ask for forgiveness than permission. So that was always my mindset, but I wasn't doing it with an intention to benefit myself. It was to benefit the students. I would get good feedback for that from them. It was a bit of a risk, but you know, it worked out in the end.
Yeah. Did you ever say to the students, if you got positive feedback, did you ever say like, oh, could you go and have a word with Dumba Dumba and say,
Dumba Dumba. Yeah. Well, whatever. Yeah, that's what it was. It's Dumpa Dumpa.
Could you go and have a word with Ring-a-Ding and tell her that you quite like it when I do that?
No, because my students were very low level. You know, like they might not. They probably wouldn't have understood that. You know, certain students, but the majority were. But a lot lower level. Enough. But you know, they would ask, and I would say, look, ask them. how they think, because they would do regular progress kind of checks, I guess you would kind of call them, with the students, so they would interact with the students a lot. But yeah, it was great school. Really enjoyed working there.
The owners, did they learn through Callum themselves? Is that how they learned English?
I believe that's how they started, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Very good. Yeah. I mean, I can certainly see, you have to see the advances to all these things, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I can see it.
Now, one of the things that people do think of with the direct method, they think of it more of like adults, because you've got these adults that got their busy days, they're stuck in their ways, they just want to go into a classroom and someone, you know, shout words at them and they just repeat those words back and stuff like that. And it's kind of, you as an adult, you already kind of feel a little bit institutionalized, so you're kind of used to just going, yes, 1 + 1 = 2, blah blah blah. But people always say, well, okay, direct method, I can see it being used with adults. You know, we have these Pumsler, you know, listen to language on tape books, and we've got all these apps and stuff. But what about kids? Can we use it with kids? And we did have a couple of kids classes at the weekends, and I thought it was a bit hit and miss. But right, I could see it being used well, and we actually have a clip of a direct method being used with kids. So maybe we can take a look at that, and
let's do that. See.
It's a green dog. Very good. Yeah, it's a green dog. What's this? It's a yellow dog. What's this? It's a light blue dog. Very good. What's this? It's a red dog. What's this?
It's a dog.
What color dog?
It's a standing dog.
It's a standing dog. Wow, very good. What color is the dog?
Brown.
Brown, yeah. So, what's this? It's a... It's a... It's a brown dog.
It's a brown dog.
Yeah, brilliant. It's a brown dog. Very good.
It's a standing
brown dog. Even better, Misky. Very good. Well done. All right. Okay. Your turn. Are you okay?
If anyone listening to this is in a position to hire and set dress codes for teachers who teach kids, please just don't set a dress code which involves tie and a jacket. Teaching kids, it's just so wrong. I mean, I don't even think it's that good for adults personally. You know that I like to dress down, right? But this, yeah, a tie. What is this? Need to be serious for these 7-year-olds.
It's a choking hazard.
We'll show
them
who's boss. Yeah.
Girl, are you a girl? Yes.
I mean, it's not for the kids, is it? It's for the parents. So the parents can look in and go, ooh, look at him. He looks smart and serious and professional.
Yeah, I think so. Good. Are you a boy?
Yes. I'm a boy.
Yeah, good. Am I a boy?
Yes.
You're a boy. Very good. Okay.
I think this guy's pretty good in that he's not quickly speaking over them. I guess because it's such a small class size, so there's not that pressure to kind of quick move on. He's just got two. Mm-hmm. So he can sort of tease it out of them a bit rather than being like, yes, I am, you know, answering almost before they
answer. It's a fine balance always, because the idea is to pressure, is to kind of like put people in a position where they have to respond, because that's kind of like how it is in real life. But I think there are room for, if you obviously here, these students have done that language before, maybe not with the dogs, so I'm not sure, but so he knows that they can do it, So maybe he's teasing it out that way, yeah.
Now, one thing that I'm noticing is that the kids want to stand up and do stuff to the extent that the little girl has actually just stood up anyway. She's just stood up right now because, and the boy was kind of doing this. You know, and obviously, you know, if we saw that in a classroom, the first thing we'd probably think is maybe we should get these kids up for 10 minutes and do something. But if you're very restricted in how you're doing this, you know, and it's not are there any prescriptions of things like that in direct methods? You know, okay, everyone get up now, get up. You know, are you standing? Yes, you're sitting, you know, or whatever. I don't know.
There's certain sections where you do the stand up, sit down. When it's part of the materials with the Callan method, but there's no kind of like activities or, you know, moving around or TPR there's or anything really.
But there's nothing about the method which would say you couldn't have that though.
No, right? No.
I mean, you could, you know, I'm throwing the ball to you. What am I doing? I'm throwing the ball. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Now you're throwing the ball to who are you throwing it to or whatever. I don't know.
What I would say with direct method with kids is to do something like what you're going on about. So I would have that a shorter section where you kind of introduce and get them to repeat, the words of whatever actions or whatever it is that you're introducing, language point that you're introducing. And then once you kind of like basically drilled that, then go into kind of these freer or more controlled practice where they kind of moving around and using it, or a switching between the two. Just because, you know, the kids need to move around. But I don't think it's necessarily cannot be taught with kids, because it's a lot of action and energy. It's not slow and boring and deliberate, at least, you know, when you're introducing language points. But for an extended period of time, that's where it gets them. So breaking it up in the manner that you describe, I think would work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it could be adapted.
Yeah.
And I mean, some of the ideas, some of the pedagogy is interesting, because I didn't realize actually that idea of the speaking over them thing was supposed to simulate the pressure required by fluency-based demands of real life situations. That's actually, there's something about that I quite like.
Well, think about it. You know, when you were learning Spanish, one of the things that we did, right, was we thought about everyday situations that we would be in, and then we would kind of practice sentences, right? Me pone una bolsa, por favor. You know, like you would have, you know, like you would practice these sentences and these scenarios in your head, so you're prepared for when you're at the checkout to ask for that bag. I see it as like doing that, but it's pressurized, and maybe you're not prepared beforehand, but you've got someone there to feed you the language that is prepared. So that I see it not so dissimilar to that. Instead of you kind of coming up with that your own sentence on, you know, researching it and learning it that way, you've got someone that's at the checkout going, do you want a bag? Oh yeah, give me a bag please.
Yeah.
Do you want a bag? Give me a bag.
There's obviously a need for both those things, isn't there? Because we've looked at Suggestopedia and we've looked at all of the relaxed environment stuff. And there's no doubt that putting too much stress on someone who's trying to learn a language is going to backfire. So it needs to be kind of a push, but not stress, I guess. Or maybe it's just the fact that it's not for everyone. I mean, I had students that used to get very stressed in communicative language classes when they were coming to talk. And they started to, you know, you could see that at some point they developed like a bit of a hang up with their English.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you'd almost sort of see them start sweating when they'd have to say something, you know, and it's like, you kind of have to, you have to treat that with quite a delicate way, because obviously the damage has been done already by someone or something in their past. And, you know, if you sort of pick them up and start shaking them, it's probably not going to help them. Come on, what do you have to say to the whole class now, quickly? Go on, what was where?
that doesn't help at all. But now imagine a method where that's baked into the cake. So if someone's going, give me the word, and you can't think about it, rather than just kind of going blah 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 blah, and then the teacher going, ah, you're useless, and moving on to the better student, be like, oh, you tell him, then the teacher goes, banana, say banana, okay. So, and I think that's one of the things that I always push back with, like Suggestopedia and this idea of, you know, the lowering the effective filter, is that the world is not a nice place, nice. A relaxed place. It's pressurized when you want to go talk to that person that you're attracted to, or you want to ask the raise for your boss, and you're just stumbling over your words. Then, you know, those situations happen often and frequently, and they are anxiety inducing, and a lot of people have problems with anxiety. With language learning, with direct method, you can immerse yourself into this situation, this pressurized situation, in a simulated synthetic way, and you can kind of desensitize yourself, which is, you know, there's precedent for that in psychology. I mean, that's what they do with phobias. Levels of immersion, you know, you start out a little bit and you kind of ramp it up from there. I think direct method can lend itself to that, in that you are, it's very, especially when it's done where you're constantly being pressurized, it works. And, you know, it's in a safe environment, because you always know that the teacher, if you can't respond, they're going to feed it to you. So you're only left with frustration that you didn't get it this time. But don't worry, you can try it again next time.
And I guess
time.
Also you're seeing other students have this issue as well. So it's not like you're not being highlighted as the failure of the class. It's kind of everyone's got this same kind of issue, and, you know, everyone's getting that sort of treatment, I guess.
Yeah.
I still feel like there needs to be a balance of relaxation and pressure.
I feel the pressure comes with
the way I teach.
I feel like the pressure comes with the oral production side. I think maybe the relaxation would be with accuracy. The pressure would be with fluency.
Okay.
I think that kind of makes sense.
So if
to
they
me.
Say something, but they say no, but where? Are you prescribing? I'm
just prescribing. I'm just kind of working it out in my head. Because I'm thinking, well, where you need to kind of think a little bit more, and you kind of want to focus on being correct, accuracy, but when you're trying to get that out of your mouth,
that's it.
Fluency.
And another polarity would be practice and learning. So learning, you would want to be relaxed. When it's new material, you'd want to be as relaxed as possible, but for practice you want to up the temperature more and more. And, you know, that's what you do with exam practice. You'll study a bit of new vocabulary or something, and then you'll do a speaking exam with a timer, you know, go into examiner mode with your student, Hello, my name is Rich and I'm your examiner, and we're going to talk about, you know, put them on the spot, make them feel like they're in the exam, because you want to simulate that situation for when they really have the exam.
Mm-hmm.
And make them feel that, you know, okay, now I'd like you to talk about this for 1 minute. 1 minute passes. Thank you. You interrupt them, you know, give them the real examiner experience.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I agree. And so with practice, you do need that. You need that, the authentic pressure of real life. But there's no doubt that we retain information better when we're relaxed.
But that's my point. That's my point. If you're constantly under pressure, but you can feel relaxed, that's a good spot to be in.
Mm.
And you know, people will say, no, you can't learn that way because you're always under pressure. But what I'm saying is, if you're always under pressure and you're able to desensitize from that and relax when you are under pressure, then you are going to be able to learn, and not just learn, but learn faster and be able to produce and react in a lot more variety of situations. I mean, think about all the high pressure jobs, firefighter, police officer, being in the army. Their training scenarios, you are always under pressure because you are always under pressure. And the majority of their training is to learn to think while you are under pressure, while you have time constraints, while there is a life and death situation going on. If they can do it, you can do it. I mean, it's not life or death. It's just trying to communicate. So it sounds extreme with direct method. But
no, but
there's benefits. There's benefit.
But social anxiety is one of the. It's like ranked as a higher fear than death, isn't it? So the actual feeling can, at the extreme pathological end of it, it can feel worse than a threat of death. You know, standing on stage as a comedian and, you know, being sort of hated by the audience is supposed to be something that feels worse than being sort of threatened.
Yeah, I can speak from experience. You know, it's awful. It's awful when you bomb, but it's not as awful the next time, and the time after it's still awful. Mm. But yeah, you know, it's the same with, you know, trying to chat up that person that you see in the bar. You know, like the first time is bad, and then the second time is bad, but maybe a little bit less, and you know, it'll maybe never go away. And with, in regards to anxiety with speaking languages, I think it's not ideal in that it can't be graded, but this is the closest you can get to having an anxiety moment of speaking English, but in a very controlled way, because you've got the teacher there for support, you've got the materials there, you know what's happening. So it's not just you're in a real life situation and someone confronts you and you're trying to explain something in English. You know, that's a highly pressurized situation and you've got no support, whatever. Whereas in this method, you do. So, I think there are definite benefits to it in regards to helping people get over or better control anxiety with speaking in English. So that was the direct method, the natural method. And there are many different versions of the direct method that are produced by different companies. They have their own proprietary versions in Lingua, Callan, Berlitz. There's many audio courses as well, like Pilmsler and Rosetta Stone, that use kind of a similar method. And we will look at those in the future. So remember to subscribe and click on that bell so you can see when those pop up, and we're going to react to them and kind of do a little bit of deep dive with them. But we'd also like to know about your experiences with the direct method. Did they chime with what we were talking about? Do you have any thoughts of if you use it in the classroom? You know, how do you use it? Why do you use it? Leave a comment below and get back to us on eltunderthecovers@gmail.com, and we'll love to have you on the show if you have anything further you want to say about the direct method. Do you have any kind of final thoughts that you want to share about the direct method before we wrap up?
I think I would just pretty much reiterate the things that I've said already, that I think there are definitely some pros, there are some cons. I don't think that I would use it myself a lot, but I'm not saying that I wouldn't use it at all. And in fact, there are some kind of pseudo direct methody stuff things that I do without the prompted repeating part of it, actually, which I suppose some people might say is a fundamental part of it. But for example, with numbers, I do a kind of a something like that. You know, when I'm teaching like big numbers, you know, 4,762 and 27, you know, it's just a case of just showing the numbers to the student and having them say it, really. And then if they don't get it, you model it and go again. You know, it's, I suppose it has that kind of very kind of rigorous practice feel rather than actually being a conversation of conversational methodology.
Yeah.
So, that's my personal perspective.
Yeah, it's not just this idea of rote learning. There is nuance to it, and it can be done well, and it can be done badly. And people see, there are benefits to it.
Yeah, well, I was also going to say, you've got, what's his name, haven't you? Vaughan in Spain, Richard Vaughan. Mm-hmm. Like, he's direct method, isn't he, I think? And he's like the biggest single English language teaching company in Spain. Mm-hmm. It's weird though, because no one ever knew what they were all about. Like, no, because they're kind of quite secretive about what they actually do. There's a couple of clips on YouTube and it's very direct methody. They go into businesses a lot and do it, don't they? And he had his TV program and his radio show and everything else. But they use Spanish as well. They use a lot of Spanish. But it's also a lot of direct method stuff. Because I remember I actually got a job with them. I never went through with it. And they were saying that, the stuff they were going to do in the training program. And they were saying, you know, there's like an example of when you have a group and you'll say stuff like, you know, ask for the pen. And then they'll say, can you pass the pen, please? And you pass them the pen. And then you say, right, Sam, ask Sandra to pass you the pen. And Sandra, what did I just say to Sam? You know, and all this kind of like, it was like it was a indirect, a reported speech thing. And you know, that kind of feels a bit direct methody to me. I don't know if you would agree.
Yeah, it might be a little bit more audio lingual, but again, that is something that we're going to be looking into and doing a methodology video on, so remember to subscribe and watch out for that video as well.
All right.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that video and it helped you get a better understanding of the direct method, and we will see you next time. If you're looking for more information from myself, you can go to teamteacherchina.com. We've got a whole bunch of materials, PowerPoints that you can use instantly in the classroom. We've got a Team Teacher China YouTube channel where we have videos teaching you how to use those materials. Team Teacher English, where we put those materials into a video form for self-study. And Team Teacher Baby, where I take my experience as a teacher and put that into parenting.
And go to youtube.com/professorrich to see some English teaching. You can catch me weekly live streams on Oxford Online English YouTube channel. Oh, and also you can do a YouTube search for POG Space UK and you would get my alpha version of my new gaming channel, which actually just have some trial content on there at the moment. You can email us here at eltunderthecovers@gmail.com if you have anything you'd like to contribute to the show.
Smash that like button, share and subscribe.
And watch 100% of the video and don't click off. Thank you.
Bye.